name was Sarah Freeman. She worked with us for a couple of months.
Can you remember her address?
35 Jellicoe Road. Please don't tell my wife.
I'm sorry, my lord, but I lied. It wasn't Donald. The man who attacked me was White.
Jack, please, I don't want to go.
Please don't let them take me, Jack. Please. Please, Jack. Please.
I said stop.
Let's go.
An ambulance. I need something, anything, a handkerchief to stop the blood.
Eddie passes out. BBC. A black police van rolls past a row of identical policemen. Standing with them is a solitary woman. Created by Dominique Maloney, WPC 56. Nature of the Beast by Ray Brooking.
Latest news, latest news. Police officer stabbed, Teddy Boy wanted. Read all about it, read all about it. Latest news.
Daytime outside the Lucky Seven Cafe. Coulson picks up a silver chain from a drain cover. He gazes at the St. Michael's medallion in the palm of his hand, then turns when a man sluices blood off the road.
The police force is a family. And last night, one of our own was viciously attacked. PC 352 Eddie Coulson is still on the danger list. The next few hours are going to be critical. All leave has been cancelled. Overtime has been approved. Thank you to all officers who have come in on your rest days. WPC Dawson has given a good description of the hooligan. 19 or 20 years old, 5'6", black hair, brown eyes. What's going to make him stand out from your average Teddy Boy is a 3-inch scar down his right cheek. There's nothing we can do for PC Coulson. He's in the hands of the doctors and God. What we can do is find the maggot that put him there.
Fenton.
OK, you've got your assignments. Let's turn over some stones and see what crawls out.
Fenton approaches Jack.
You did hear that? Nelson wants all available officers on this.
I've got a missing boy to find and a sex attacker on the loose.
This is one of our own.
If I hear anything, you'll be the first to know.
Dawson?
Sir?
Are you sure you don't need some time off?
I'd rather be working.
It's an admirable sentiment, but you have suffered a nasty shot.
Actually, sir, I could use her help with me.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
Well, she's the only one who can identify this scum.
True.
And if it hadn't been for her quick thinking, Eddie Coulson would be in the mortuary.
Nodding, Nelson steps aside.
What are you waiting for? A fanfare? Get your hat.
Gina does as she's told. A loitering Teddy Boy is picked up by a constable. Fenton and Gina going door to door.
7:15 last night. Come on, you must have seen something.
No, Dickie. But...
You sure?
No, sorry, love. Nothing.
Well, if you hear anything, you call me from the police station, right?
Yeah, sure.
The man walks away as Gina comes over, then shrugs.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
At the market, Sam puffs his cheeks as he wheels a stack of boxes over to a truck. Loading the vehicle, Sam's interrupted.
All right, son.
What do you want?
Well, I've got to see where you're working.
Well, you've seen it, now you can blow.
I saw your gran last night.
How is she?
Not so good. It's her heart, you know. She misses you. Said she wouldn't recognise you anymore. Not a skinny little kid now, grown man.
But why are you really here?
Son, I need to find someone. A Ted. A copper is in hospital. Eddie Coulson, you've met him.
Yeah, and he arrested me for something I never did.
Yeah, look, slashing a few seats in the Regency is one thing. Stabbing a police officer is crossing the line. And if you know who's
done
this...
All that stuff about Grant, just to butter me up.
No, that's not
fair. Admit it. Your job always comes before me.
Sam!
Looking frustrated, Pratt walks away, unaware that Johnny has seen him with Sam. Inside, Johnny grabs Sam.
What did he want?
Nothing!
Eh?
Honest, Johnny. He was just blowing hot air.
Family stuff. Suppose you slipped him the wink?
Look, I'd never grass on you. Not after everything you've done for me.
See, everybody knows me. You go to any bar in Rome, you say the name Salvatore Angeletti, you get free drinks all of the night.
Gina's outside the barber's.
Sarge?
What? You think we walked this way by accident? Come on, Sherlock.
Fenton swaggers into Salvatore's.
Scusi momento, I just finish here. Hey, what are you doing? You can't do that, disturb my customers.
One of your lot with a slashed face. You know him?
No.
Go on, get lost.
The next one's on Salvatore. Okay. Oh, very much, Sergeant Fenton. He ain't coming back in an hurry, is he?
You know why we're here, Derek?
If I knew anything, I'd be straight down the station, wouldn't I?
You sure? You got nothing you want to tell me?
As God's me witness.
Okay. We'll wait.
Smiling smugly, Fenton sits back in one of the barber's chairs and Gina follows suit. In the psychiatric hospital, Jack comes down a wide staircase, then passes a man who's sitting on the floor in a thin gown, twitching violently with a nurse at his side. Derek looks at his watch while Fenton reads the newspaper.
Please, Sergeant. You're going to bankrupt me.
My heart bleeds.
Think of my poor bambinos. Three mouths to feed and another on the way.
He needs to sow his flies up this one, eh? Give his missus a break.
Gina's seat suddenly tips back.
Hey, now you're trying to wreck the place.
Just tell us what we need to know and we'll be out of your hair.
But if word gets out...
Word about what? Hey, I thought you never knew nothing.
There is a lad. With a scar. It comes in for a trim and something for the weekend.
Name?
I don't know. On my poor mother's grave.
Something occurs to Gino as Fenton gets to his feet.
Do you have any idea how he got the scar?
I heard it was a fight when he was at Borstal. Or the lad came off worse. That's all I know.
Deborah stares blankly out of the hospital window.
The girls send their love.
Jack's sitting behind her.
They miss you. We all do.
Looking wan in a long, pale gown, Deborah slowly turns to face Jack.
Then take me home, Jack.
That's not possible.
I'll be good. I promise.
Dr. Hurley said...
Dr. Hurley, do you know what he does to me when you're not here? They strap me down and then they put wires on my head, and then, please, please don't let them hurt me anymore.
We just want you to get better.
No, Jack! I'm mad at you!
Deborah!
You fucking know how you're meant to protect me! I hate you! No, I can't! I'm mad at you! Please! Please! You're meant to protect me, Jack! I hate you, Deborah! No! I hate you! I hate you! Jack!
In my day, you had a Barney, you sorted it with your fists. Nowadays, you so much as even look at someone the wrong way and you're likely to get a knife between the ribs.
You know, I've always supported you, love.
I knew the risks when I signed up.
It could be you lying in St. Vincent's.
I'm not quitting, Dad.
Hello?
Frank.
We didn't have anything planned for tonight.
No. But I just wanted to...
Oh, Frank!
Mrs. D.
Don't look at me, I must look a right mess.
I'm sorry for just dropping in, only I've got some good news.
Oh, I love a surprise.
You're only looking at the new deputy foreman.
Oh, Frank, that's wonderful.
Well done, lad.
Yeah, congratulations.
This calls for a celebration, Joe.
And I've got a nice rhubarb crumble in the oven.
You know I can never refuse your puddings, Mrs. Dink.
What, didn't I say you'd go far?
Jack's at home.
Kate, have some more toast. Please, just one more piece. Right, last spoon. Please, for Daddy.
I want Mummy. I want Mummy too.
Kate.
The girl knocks her bowl over.
Mummy! No!
Then runs off.
10 shillings a week. Do you hear that, Gina?
You've said it twice.
Have you seen those new flats they're building on the old gem factory?
Yeah, they look really smart.
All right, if you want to live in a rabbit hutch.
Right, who's for seconds?
Tom, Mrs. D.
Oh, there's more in the pan.
I'll go.
Left at the back of the shelf, is that what you want?
What have I done now?
It's what you haven't done. Do you know how long he's been waiting for that promotion? You could at least slap a smile on your face.
I will. You tone it down. 10 bob a week, new flats. You're about as subtle as a steamroller.
Frank, Gina's had a good idea.
Oh, yeah?
To celebrate your promotion, slap up meal tomorrow night.
Well, that sounds great.
I'll see what the butcher's got in. Stuffed tart. That's your favourite, isn't it, Frank?
Frank pours on more custard. A concerned-looking Coulson's at Eddie's bedside when Kathy comes in.
Oh, Chief Superintendent?
Oh,
Kathy Sinclair, sir?
Yes, of course.
Is there any...
No change.
Well, that don't mean it's bad. My Uncle Dick got knocked on the noggin with a shovel. Couldn't wake him for a week, but now he's as right as rain. Except he can't remember Auntie V's birthday. Or their anniversary.
I should check in with the doctor.
Okie dokie.
Coulson hurries off, leaving Kathy with Eddie. Putting her bag down, she then tucks Eddie's arm under the covers. When she pulls the blankets back, she sees a bloody stain on Eddie's pajama jacket.
Help! Somebody, anyone, please help! Help! Eddie! Please help!
A nurse gets a metal dish and cotton wool as Kathy's ushered away. Coulson shares her worried look. Jack's tidying beer bottles away when there's a knock at the door.
Hello? Hello?
Eleanor. Thanks for coming. The girls will be pleased to see you. Is Godfrey not coming in?
He thought it best to wait in the car. We went to Edmund Hall last night. How could you do that? To your own wife?
She was a danger to herself and the girls.
Nonsense. She's just exhausted.
Grandma!
No wonder. Oh, here they are, my little angels. Oh, look at your hair. It's like a bird's nest. And you are just skin and bone. What is your daddy feeding you?
Are you going to help me or not?
Of course. We can't expect daddy to take time off from his precious job, can we?
I'll be back by 6.
And tomorrow? The girls need stability. Which is why we've decided that it would be better if we took them home with us.
There's no need for that.
Their room's ready.
I can manage.
It'll be a nice break for them. Proper home-cooked food. A few treats.
I don't want them being spoiled.
They'll be treated like the little princesses they are.
Well, that didn't work for Deborah, did it?
I think it's time Daddy said goodbye, don't you?
Gramps and Grandma are going to look after you for a few days. But we'll talk on the telephone every day and it won't be for long. All right? I love you.
Fenton's on a call, as is Gina.
Well?
No, his right cheek.
A vertical scar, couple of inches.
Okay, thank you.
19 years old, 5'6". Yeah, he sounds like a match.
Name. Give me a name. Can you send us a photo? Great. Sarah. Johnny Harris, last known address, Churchill Road.
Get your hat.
Fenton.
Mr. Harris.
He ain't here.
You don't mind if I speak for yourself?
Don't forget to look under the bed.
Oh, you think this is a joke, hey? Do you know what he's done?
I've seen the papers, but what makes you think it's Johnny?
I saw him do it. You were there too, Lisa. Don't deny it.
We could charge him as an accessory. What would happen to your babby then, eh?
Go on then. Where's your cuffs?
Lisa holds a wrist out.
Go and knock off the neighbours. Somebody must have seen him.
He'll be going down for a nice long stretch and it won't just be Borstal this time.
You want him? You catch him?
Looking irritated, Fenton rushes out. Gina shakes her head. Jack's in the public records office with a bookish look.
Her name is Sarah Freeman. She'd be in her early 60s by now.
And all that you have is this address?
35 Jellicoe Road, Birmingham.
Where she lived 30 years ago. And she's not in residence there now.
I wouldn't be bothering you if it was that easy.
And what kind of a case is this, Detective Inspector?
You know I can't tell you that, Miss Lawrence.
Is it connected with the bones in the mine? What is it? Blackmail gone wrong? Witchcraft?
Crime passionnel.
When can you get me the information?
I'll state it all night if I have to.
I'll see you tomorrow then.
Gina's with Lisa as she tucks her baby in.
Why are you protecting him? And where in the wedding vows does it say I will abandon my wife and baby with no food or money?
He can be gone for days, but he always comes back.
Where does he go?
I asked once. Won't make that mistake again. Oh, blooming great.
Is there no one else who can help you?
My parents never liked Johnny. When I got pregnant...
Do you really expect us to believe that you don't know where your own husband is?
The rent's due. My baby's hungry. You've got no mushrooms to put in the meter. Do you think I'd really be sat here if I knew where Johnny was? The only thing I do know is that he wouldn't go far. Not without me and David.
The longer this goes on for, the worse it's going to get for Johnny. If he comes back, will you give us a call?
Lisa glances up at Fenton, then nods to Gina. The sergeant signals it's time to leave. Gina collects her hat and smiles sympathetically on her way out. Lisa watches as Fenton peels off a couple of notes from a bundle of cash.
And the baby.
Looking surprised, Lisa accepts the money, then Fenton goes. At the police station, Fenton's removing mugshots from a notice board. Kathy hands an envelope to Fenton, who then shows the enclosed photo of Johnny to Gina before pinning it to the board. Nelson.
Okay. Progress report?
Shaking up the teddy boys didn't do any good. No one's talking.
Their neighbours haven't seen Johnny for days.
What about his parents?
They've moved to Aberdeen, sir. Their local lads are trying to locate him.
Sir, is there any news on Eddie?
He's still critical. Is this him? Why isn't he in custody?
It's only a matter of time, sir. He can't hide forever.
What's this?
New lead in the missing boy's case.
Still wasting time on something that's dead and buried?
Henry Fuller's story doesn't add up.
Who?
The baker. He knew both the boys. He claims he got a shop girl pregnant. She disappeared around the same time the boys vanished.
She moved away, so what?
What if Henry Fuller killed all three of them?
Oh, for heaven's sake. How many times that loony John Evans took the boys?
And if you're wrong?
Wrong?
To be fair to D.I.B.
I tell you what's wrong is you wasting your time on ancient history while the scum who tried to kill my son is still walking free! You want to get your priorities right, detective.
Coulson glares at Jack, then turns and walks past the stunned officers. As Nelson follows Coulson, Jack shoves his seat back, gets up from the desk, then charges outside. Something takes Gina's attention. In the fresh air, Jack undoes his top button and loosens his tie. Patting his pockets, he sighs, then Gina jogs out with a cigarette case.
Here.
You left them on your desk.
Maybe Coulson's right. Maybe I'm chasing ghosts.
You can't give up. You owe it to Stanley Collins, to William Parker. Go home. Have dinner with your family. Forget about work for a few hours.
I'll be going home to an empty house and a fish paste sandwich.
I hear the anchor does a pork pie that's just about edible.
You've twisted my arm.
Give me 5 minutes.
In a storeroom, Sam's with Johnny, who's hungrily eating chips.
I'm sorry about your stuff. I mean, I couldn't get near the place. Coppers everywhere.
Did anyone follow you?
Nah. I did like you said. Doubled back, jumped on a couple of buses. You know the papers say he's still alive.
Who?
The copper. Look, you can't stay here forever. I mean, someone's bound to get suspicious.
Nah, you're right. I'm gonna have to blow. Guess somewhere they can't find me.
You can send for Lisa once the heat's died down.
You're joking? She'll bring the law straight to me?
And what about David?
How do I even know that brat's even mine? Now we're better off cutting off ties from this dump.
We?
You ain't got nothing worth staying here for. But London. Yes. I can see it now. We'll get a nice little flat, couple of new lads in, we'll start again. But any bigger this time.
But we ain't got a shilling between us, John.
Yeah, don't mean worry about that, Sammy boy. Have a chip.
Jack's in the pub with Gina.
I couldn't go from fighting for my country to sitting behind a desk 6 days a week. Maybe I watched too many westerns as a lad. Always wanted to wear a sheriff's badge and bring law and order to Tombstone.
My mum wanted me to be a teacher.
And your father?
Wanted a boy. And I thought that's a bit unfair. He always encouraged me to follow my dreams.
Which wasn't teaching 7-year-olds the 10x table.
I just wanted to do something that made a difference.
And you think you're doing that now?
Well, every morning I wake up and put my uniform on, it feels right. Maybe I liked westerns as well. Only girls never get to be sheriff, do they? No. They get to make endless cups of tea and type up reports for male officers who can't even spell the word burglar.
Spying the pair, Fenton ducks down the booth.
Thanks.
For what?
I needed this.
How come you were going home to an empty house anyway?
Deborah's taking the kids to her parents for a few days.
Must be nice to get some peace and quiet.
Looking troubled, Jack downs his drink.
I'll take you home.
Thanks.
At night, Kathy finds Bill outside the hospital.
What are you doing here?
I can't have a lady walk home on her own, can I?
Walk? Where's this car you're always going on about?
It's nearly there. Bodywork's done. Just waiting on a new grill to arrive from the States. You can't rush perfection. But in the meantime, it's Shank's pony. Your Sergeant Pratt told me you were here.
Everyone's done a shift. Sitting by Eddie's bed, talking to him.
Did you hold his hand?
What? Phil Pearson, you're jealous?
Well, that dope, you proper, don't think so.
I'm your girl. Everyone knows that.
Prove it.
Bill glances over his shoulder, then takes Kathy under a metal staircase. With her against the wall, Bill kisses her on the mouth, then passionately on the neck.
You do love me, don't you?
Yeah.
He runs his hands up her.
Bill.
He undoes a button on her blouse.
You do love me. Stop. Stop!
Having been slapped by Bill, Kathy stares at him, then runs off. Gina's in Jack's car.
He's just fine.
Jack pulls the car around a corner and stops.
Thanks for the lift.
They both sit in silence, as if unsure of what to say.
Night then.
Gina, right?
About to step out of the car, Gina turns back round to face Jack. They stare at each other for a brief moment, then they suddenly embrace, kissing passionately. Gina eventually pulls away and gets out of the car. Frank, Brenda and Joe are waiting at the dining room table when Gina comes in.
Hope you didn't wait. I'm not that hungry.
Where have you been?
I had to work late.
No, don't just stand there. You kept us waiting long enough. Just hope it's not ruined.
I'm sure it'll be delicious.
Blimey. You have pushed the boat out. Best crockery. Dad in a tie.
She kisses her dad.
You should get promoted every week.
You've been drinking?
Just a quick one.
Thought you said you were working.
We were talking about a case.
So, you've been boozing while we've been sat here like lemons.
She's here now, Bryn.
Frank.
Where are you going? I want to hear all about your new job, every detail.
I'm on Early's.
What about your tea?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Div. I've lost my appetite.
Safe journey home, son.
Frank leaves.
Poor lad. Why do you treat him so badly?
I just lost track of time.
It's not the only thing you'll lose if you're not careful. You won't find another man who'll put up with your carrying on. Now sit and eat before it gets any colder.
Gina drops her bag and coat on a nearby chair, missing the stern look Brenda casts in her direction. On the psychiatric ward, Deborah's taking medication handed to her by a nurse. She swallows, then hands the glass of water back. Once the nurse has left the ward, Deborah turns away from the door and takes the pill from her mouth. With her other hand, she reaches under the sheet and pulls out a small box fashioned from newspaper. She secretes the tablet inside, then closes it and hides it underneath the mattress. She lies down again.
Reckon we should start a book on who's going to be next. Might even put a guinea on myself.
Morning, Sergeant.
Dawson.
Johnny Harris.
Still haven't flushed him out.
What about his parents?
Local bobbies interviewed him, but they reckon they haven't seen him for years.
So what do we do now?
We?
Well, I thought...
Well, you thought wrong. I need a partner who's on the ball. Not someone who didn't get any sleep last night.
I slept fine, thank you very much.
Oh, really? Get back to your vital police work, Constable. That kettle won't boil itself.
Gina heads out.
Well, Jack Burns can't be that good. He should have spent the night with me. I'd have left him a smile on her face.
The first thing I did was check the name Sarah Freeman against the address you gave me.
And?
She never lived there.
What? I don't understand.
However, our records do show that a Sarah Stern lived at that address until 1944. And cross-reference with our marriage records confirmed that. Come on, Inspector.
Sarah Freeman's maiden name was Stern.
Bingo.
So where did she go after 44?
Several addresses, all in the Birmingham area, the most recent being number 15 Primrose Terrace. But that's not the end of the trail. Oh, no.
Jack's making notes.
A death certificate.
Sarah Stern died at St. Luke's Hospital 3 weeks ago.
Any next of kin listed?
A George Stern was present at the death.
And he is?
Her son.
Well, that fits. She was supposed to be pregnant when she left Brinford.
Ah, no, but does it? I could only find one birth certificate linked to your lady. Charles Albert Freeman, born 1919, died 1925, age 6.
Tuberculosis.
Okay, so she lost a child before she came to work in the bakery. Then she got pregnant again, went away, gave birth to George.
Only one problem with that. I've been through all the records. There's no birth certificate, nothing. George Stern doesn't exist.
Kathy wanders into the police station's kitchen.
Kathy? What's happened?
It's nothing.
Let me see.
3-inch heels and stairs don't mix.
Bill.
You won't tell anyone?
Of course not.
Dawson, you're needed. Missing persons case. 19-year-old girl in command last night.
Yes, Sergeant.
Gina smiles at Kathy, then heads off into the interview room.
She always takes the last bus home from work, but we can't stay up that late.
Does Patricia have her own key?
She's always very careful not to disturb us when she comes in.
Only when I went to wake her, her bed hadn't been slept in.
Could she have missed the last bus? Stayed with a friend?
Well, it's never happened before.
She would have telephoned. She'd have known how worried.
Where does Patricia work?
Hobbs Restaurant.
Does Patricia have a boyfriend?
No. She's a good girl. If she's not working, she's helping me, you know, at the church.
Is there anything else, Mrs. Buckley?
Sometimes, when she says she's running errands, she isn't. She's going to the theatre or dances. She's not a child anymore, Matthew. She has to get out with people her own age. She can't be stuck in with us all the time.
Why didn't you tell me?
You want to protect her. She knows that. She has to find her own way in the world.
I'll need a description of Patricia.
Daytime, and Jack's knocking on the door of a terraced house when a woman appears from a neighbouring doorway.
Salesman, is it? Well, you won't get much joy there. The dead don't have much call for encyclopedias or vacuum cleaners.
Police. Detective Inspector Jack Burns.
Detective Inspector? Never had one of them on Primrose Terrace.
This is where Sarah Stern lived.
Till the cancer took her. Riddled with it. By the time she got to the doctors, it was too late. Nothing they could do but help with the pain.
And her son?
George. He was devoted to her. They were never apart.
How old is he?
Let me think. He had a birthday a couple of months back. 37.
You're sure?
Positive. I remember saying he should think about moving out. Still living with your mother at that age. It ain't healthy.
37.
And steak and kidney pie. Enjoy your meals. Jessica Mundy.
Yes?
Can we sit and talk?
Yeah, sure.
The waitress sits with Gina.
I understand that you're friends with Patricia Buckley and you were working together last night.
That's right.
Well, your boss tells me Patricia had the night off and you telephoned in sick. Why lie?
Is George still living here?
Your guess is as good as mine. Haven't seen eye nor hair of him since the funeral.
Any idea where he could have gone?
Took it really bad. Day and night he sat by her bed. And the flowers. Her room was more like a garden than a hospital.
Can you describe him?
Not as tall as you. Hair, brownish, polite, sort of shy.
If George comes back, you'll contact Brinford Police Station.
Of course.
Thanks.
He glances up at Sarah's house once more before returning to his car.
So, where did you go?
The tavern. The Skittles were playing and Patty's got the hots for the singer, Richie Lomax.
What time did you leave the pub?
Well, she wanted to go at 10 to get the last bus.
But you didn't go with her?
We had a bust up. I didn't even see her leave.
Could she have gone off with this Richie?
No.
How can you be so sure?
Because I was with him. if she's moaning that I stole him, well, how is that police business anyway?
Patricia never came home last night.
What?
Gina's pinning photos of the victims on a board when Jack and Nelson come in.
What's all this about, Dawson?
A missing person, sir. Patricia Buckley, 19. She didn't come home last night. I spoke to the conductor of the last bus she could have taken home. She wasn't on it. If Patricia walked home, a most direct route would have taken her through Victoria Park. Patricia's disappearance can't just be a coincidence.
It could be an escalation, sir.
Nelson's thoughtful.
I'll organise a search.
Gina smiles.
Good work, Gina.
Jack smiles faintly at Gina, who instantly looks wary. She averts her gaze. Coulson's at Eddie's bedside, holding the St. Michael medallion in his hand. He closes his fingers over it and looks at his son, who's still unconscious.
Edward. Son?
Dad?
Jack's looking at Sarah's death certificate when Gina brings him a cup of tea.
You read my mind. About last night.
How did it go at the records office?
It was, confusing.
How?
Sarah Freeman went back to her maiden name, Stern. But there's no evidence of her having had Henry Fuller's baby. However, she did have a 6-year-old son who died before she came to Brinford.
The same age the boys were when they went missing.
Then I find out that a George Stern, supposedly her son, was living with Sarah until she died. He's 37, too old to be Henry Fuller's child, but...
But the same age Stanley Collins would be if he was still alive. You think Sarah took Stanley?
It fits.
What about William?
Got in the way?
Threatened to tell what he'd seen.
But if George Stern is Stanley Collins, where is he now?
Nelson comes in.
Dawson.
Sir?
My office. Now.
He fixes her with a stern look, then leaves. Worried, Gina looks at Jack, then heads to Nelson's office.
It's come to my attention that certain rumours are circulating.
Sir?
About you and a senior officer.
That's just malicious gossip.
So there's nothing improper going on between you and Detective Inspector Burns?
We went to the pub. That's all.
Just the two of you? He's a married man.
It was just a drink.
It's still enough to ruin your reputation. I inspected more of you, Dawson. You've shown great promise. Are you going to really throw your career away over the sake of a tawdry affair?
But it's not an affair.
That will be all, Dawson.
Yes, sir.
About to say something, Gina thinks better of it. Jack notices her on her way out.
Gina.
Not now, Jack.
What did Nelson say?
He said that people are starting to talk.
About us? So? Let them.
Well, that's easy for you to say. You're not the one who's going to lose their job over some stupid drunken kiss.
Are you saying it meant nothing?
I've worked too hard to get here.
Hey, can't we talk about this?
I won't risk my career. Not for you, not for anyone.
At the veg market, Sam and Johnny are hiding.
It's not too late to call it off. Are you going soft on me?
No, I'm not.
Because if you're going soft on me,
I'm not.
Right, let's do it.
Johnny passes a flick knife to Sam. Wearing scarves over their faces as disguise, they slip from behind the wooden crates and follow after a man who's just walked into the office.
All the money, back in the bag, then hand it over! Do it now!
The man calmly turns around to face them. It's Fenton.
Why don't you be a good boy and put that down?
Do him.
Sam hesitates.
Do him.
Throwing down the knife, Sam pulls the scarf from his face.
It's no good, Johnny. Just give yourself up.
Johnny pulls his scarf from his face. Fenton holds up a truncheon.
Just you and me now.
You're dead!
Johnny throws Sam against Fenton and runs out into the arms of waiting officers. Shoving one of them out of the way, he pulls crates down after him as he goes, blocking the path. Fenton loops over them and pursues Johnny, who skids outside into the yard. Realizing he's cornered, he grabs a meat hook.
Come on, then!
Ready when you are, boy. Honey, you better be good.
Come on!
Fenton smashes Johnny with the truncheon.
Johnny Harris, I'm arresting you for the attempted murder of a brave officer whose boots you're not fit to lick. You're not obliged to say anything, but anything that you do say won't matter, because you'll be spending the rest of your miserable little life behind bars. Get used to it.
Shut up!
Fenton bundles Johnny into the police station.
Not a mark, Sergeant.
Johnny's thrown into a room.
Think you're a big man, eh?
Some more good news? I've just had Chief Superintendent Coulson on the telephone. Eddie's out of danger.
Oh, that's great news.
Kathy smiles at Gina.
Oh, we could be smile.
Gina and Pratt walk through to the front desk area just as Sam comes in.
Well done, son.
Yeah, well, I need to get back to work, so...
Right.
But you mentioned something about a pint.
Great. Bianca, 7 o'clock.
Sounds good.
At the hospital, Eddie's dressed and is packing his case when Pratt walks in.
There he is, the shirker. What you won't do for a few days off, eh?
Sarge.
Do you know how worried we've been?
We?
Oh, it's just me. Kathy's been in every day. Tell you what, I'm glad they're letting you out. Your old man's been driving us mad. Well, everyone will be very pleased to hear how well you're doing. Gerard a bit.
Coulson's arrived.
Here, let me.
Coulson helps Eddie slip on his jacket, then reaches into his pocket and pulls out the St. Michael medallion and chain.
I had it cleaned. I'm glad someone was watching over you. But that was supposed to be my job. I expect you back on duty as soon as possible. After all, you are a Coulson.
Yes, sir.
Father and son stare at each other for a moment, and Eddie's eyes shine with tears of joy. Then Coulson walks out. Nighttime outside the factory.
Frank's on his way.
It's not Frank I'm here for.
Oh.
Stay away from her.
What?
I know what you did.
Kathy's my girl. I do what I want.
You hurt her again and I'll have you locked up in a cell.
You can't tell me who I can and can't see.
What's going on?
You want to keep your mare on a shorter rein.
Ah, and how's he going to do that with his fists like you do?
What are you doing?
He needs to be told.
Here.
Do you know what he's done?
This is where I work. How am I meant to set an example to the men when they see you shouting at the gates like a fishwife? And I thought you'd come to apologise, but no, that's too much to ask for, isn't it?
I am sorry. I'll make it up to you. I promise. See you later.
Gina walks off into the night.
Put her back in her place, then.
If you ever talk to her like that again.
Frank fires a warning glare at Bill before walking off. It's raining heavily when a group of officers make their way through Victoria Park, torchlights bobbing in the darkness. One officer makes his way past bushes, shining his torch on the ground. He stops when he finds a woman's flat shoe and grabs his whistle. Jack and another officer run to join the policeman in the undergrowth. He runs his torch beam across the ground to reveal a hand and a woman's body.